The NFL was founded in a Hupmobile auto showroom way back in 1920. Only two of today's active teams were represented in that showroom on September 17th, 1920. Both of these teams were based in Chicago at the beginning, but only one would survive the Windy City. The other would move from place to place in a long franchised history. In the upcoming episode, you get to hear about this Ramblin' Man original team, and it happens to be the longest, continuously operated football team in the NFL.
Welcome to the Football History Dude Podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. Your host is Arnie Chapman. Football is his passion, and he wants you to come along with him to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board his DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
Now as we step off our DeLorean, the date is September 17th, 1920. Yes, we are back in that Hupmobile auto showroom of Mr. Ralph Hay. Now we had representatives from 11 franchises that built the foundation of the NFL as we know it. But only two of those franchises that were there are still in existence today. Those two teams were the Decatur Staleys and the Chicago Cardinals. I'm like, wait a tick. Now these teams, they're not in the NFL anymore, right? I've never heard of the Decatur Staleys or the Chicago Cardinals playing on a Sunday football afternoon in 2018. Well, that's not quite accurate, because you see, the Decatur Staleys, as we've previously learned, turned into the Chicago Bears. But who the heck were the Chicago Cardinals? Seems like that would have been the Bears, you know? Chicago Cardinals, Chicago Bears. But that was not the case. The Chicago Cardinals did not become the Chicago Bears. In fact, you can learn more about the founding of the Chicago Bears back in episode 9 of the Football History Dude, and you can get there by heading to thefootballhistorydude.com/episode9. Also, I'd like to invite you to subscribe for free to this show by mashing that little subscribe button on your podcast player of choice. That way you get the hottest, freshest out the press episodes each and every week. So if this Chicago Cardinals team did not turn into the Chicago Bears, well, let's go back in time and let's figure this sucker out. Let's hop back in our DeLorean, and we're going to head way back to 1898. You see, this is when Chris O'Brien formed a football team that he called the Morgan Athletic Club. Now, this was not exactly an NFL team, you know, like you see today, but it was on the way to becoming the longest operated franchise in professional football. This team would later take on the name the Racine Normals. This is because they played at Normal Park, near 61st and Racine Street. So then a few years later, O'Brien purchased used jerseys from the University of Chicago. Now, University of Chicago at the time, their colors were maroon, but there were some used jerseys, so supposedly they had faded a little bit. And when O'Brien saw them, he said, "That's not maroon, it's cardinal red." Thus, they become the Racine Cardinals. Now, they're not named after the bird, as many people had thought. They were named after some maroon jerseys that were faded and turned into what they called the cardinal red. So the Racine Cardinals are on the map. Now, I saw a couple different places where the team disbanded back in 1906 because of a lack of local competition. And then a pro team formed in 1913 under the same name, claiming previous name as part of history. So I'm not 100% sure as to how they consider this the longest operated franchise and the NFL, but I have to imagine there's something going on there as far as because they claim that the previous name is part of the history. Now, it was also discussed that in 1918, it was suspended for a little bit for that year, as many other teams suspended the season because of World War I and also a Spanish flu outbreak, which still, they continued operation, you know, even though there was suspension in there, and they have continued operation ever since. Then in 1920, two different teams in the APFA, remember that's the American Professional Football Association, which would turn into the NFL, were in the city of Chicago. I mean, Windy City, that was like the hub at the time, because most of these teams, they were in the Midwest, and that's the largest city over there. So, we had two different teams in the NFL, correction, APFA at the time, and these two teams were the Chicago Tigers and the Racine Cardinals. Chicago Tigers, they came from the north side. The Racine Cardinals, like I said, they played at Normal Park. which was near Racine Street from the south side. So even though they were from different sides of the city, they still competed for the same fans. And like I said, it was a big city, but was it big enough for football, especially professional football at the time, when it was still at the ground roots, trying to figure out in its infancy stage if it's going to survive? Now, they didn't really believe it back then either. Of course, now there's two different cities with two teams. New York is the largest city by far, and LA, I mean, by far the second largest city. They both have two teams in the current NFL, but we're talking a massive population increase from then until now. But getting to that season, the first time that the Chicago Tigers would play the Racine Cardinals, it would end in a 0-0 tie. Then the second game was kind of a rematch on November 7th of 1920. Now legend has it that higher stakes prevailed, other than just a victory and bragging rights. Now this time, the rights were for the city, a kind of a win or you could get out kind of moment. Now I'm not sure how valid this was, but there was an article from the Professional Football Hall of Fame about Cardinal history that had it in there, so there may be some legitimacy to it. It was said that O'Brien and the Cardinals challenged the Chicago Tigers for rights to the city. Like I said, if you win, you win. If you lose, you can get out. As in, the loser packs their bags, they get out of town immediately. Now this game had the legendary Paddy Driscoll of the Cardinals, who scored the only touchdown for a 6-0 victory over the Tigers. And they packed up, they left out. But it was only considered a legend because it was said that the Tigers were losing anyways and they had poor financial circumstances. So did the Tigers really leave because of this, legendary squabble between the two owners? Or was it more realistic that they were going to leave anyways because of bankruptcy and that kind of thing? But history and the lore of legend continues. From what I gathered, the team changed their name from Racine Cardinals to Chicago Cardinals back in 1922 because a team from actual Racine, Wisconsin, joined the league, so they had to change it. Chicago Cardinals made more sense anyways because you're playing in Chicago, you know? But they would end up having their first victory in 1925 when they edged out Pottsville Maroons for their first NFL championship. Then after that championship in 1925, they didn't really have a whole lot of success. Now, we've talked about this before, though. In 1929, on Thanksgiving Day, there is a highlight that came from the team. Ernie Nevers, and that record that we keep talking about, which is the oldest record in NFL history, he dropped a 40-burger on the Chicago Bears at the time. Then we flash forward to the early 1930s, where the Chicago Cardinals were purchased by Charles W. Bidwell for $50,000. Now, Bidwell would end up becoming inducted to the Hall of Fame as an owner slash administrator in the class of 1967. And we're going to cover more of him in the upcoming episodes, but let's just say that he was considered a ray of hope in the dark years of the Depression, where the Great Depression almost just totally wiped out the NFL altogether. So this got me thinking, you know, the underdog stories and history and battles and that kind of thing. Started looking up a little bit, try to figure out what one kind of made sense, and just there are too many to describe. But an example from history that occurred back in 61 CE was called the Battle of Watling Street. Now this was similar to the famous Spartan last stand at Thermopylae. It was a group of 10,000 Romans that supposedly stood against 100,000 to 200,000, give or take many thousands, because back in the day you could never get accurate numbers of, you know, the actual people that were fighting in the battles. Whatever the number was, let's split it down the middle. 150,000 troops that were raised by Iceni Queen Boudica. Regardless, it doesn't matter. 10,000 to 100,000 even so. That is insurmountable odds. And Roman General Suetonius, he knew this. But he had to fight at some point anyways. Which, similar to the Great Depression closing in on the NFL. I mean, they were losing tons of money and they might have had to fold. So similar to this example, where those 10,000 Romans defeated the Iceni Queen, the Roman victory solidified that Roman rule in southern Britain for a very long time. So in similar fashion, Charles Bidwell, when he decided to keep his team in operation through these Depression years of the 30s, and even in the World War II years, well, that just made him a shining beacon of hope in these times. And there's a quote from Bidwell in 1937 that kind of described how he felt about it, and it went as such. I may be a nut on this subject, but my idea is that pro football will be a hell of a thing in a few more years. Our game is making definite strides forward, strides with each year. And I'm telling you what, he stuck it through those dark times. And through his perseverance, he built the famous dream backfield for the Chicago Cardinals, which led to the 1947 NFL championship, possibly the greatest moment in the entire history of the longest running NFL team. And speaking of dream backfield, it's generally a good idea to stuff your DraftKings lineup with stud running backs. If you haven't played DraftKings yet, why don't you head on over to thefootballhistorydude.com/DraftKings for your free entry today. Again, that's thefootballhistorydude.com/DraftKings. Now, unfortunately, Charles Bidwell passed away before that championship of 1947, and he passed away on April 19th, 1947. And after this 1947 championship, the team would not win another playoff game until 1998 NFC wildcard against the Dallas Cowboys. So that's a very long time in between playoff victories. But the family still owns the team, you know, it's still in the family. His son, William V. Bidwell, now technically is the owner of the team, but his grandson, Michael, which is the team president, runs the day-to-day operations. So then after 40 years in Chicago, the Cardinals would move to St. Louis in 1960. But they didn't really realize a whole lot of success, you know, they had some decent years, but not really a lot of playoff success. So in 1988, William Bidwell would move the team to Phoenix, Arizona. So I'm pretty sure, yeah, if you didn't figure this out before, you kind of started to determine who the longest continuous operator franchise in NFL history is. Then, of course, in 1994, they changed the team name to Arizona Cardinals, supposedly to cater to, you know, more of the whole state as opposed to just the Phoenix Metroplex. And in 2006, the Arizona Cardinals opened that state-of-the-art stadium. And they've had some pretty good success right there at the beginning. They had multiple division titles, but their only Super Bowl appearance was Super Bowl 43. And with that being said, Super Bowl 43 resulted in defeat for the longest operating professional football team in America by just that little toe on a touchdown catch from Santonio Holmes with 30 seconds left. There was plenty of controversy revolving around this catch that put the Steelers over the top against the Cardinals in this game. The worst part of this loss, though, is that it left the Cardinals empty-handed in the championship category. Unfortunately, having the longest championship drought in all of professional sports. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Football History Dude and were able to gain some knowledge nuggets about the oldest team in NFL history. Next weekend, NFL teams in the 2018 season will be playing their 14th regular season game. Now, it wasn't all that long ago when this would have been the last game of the season. So in next week's episode, let's go back throughout NFL history to learn about the amount of games played in a season and what was behind it. But for now, dudes, I'm through if you're through.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Football History Dude. To make sure you're the first to get the next episode, please subscribe on your podcast player of choice and head on over to thefootballhistorydude.com for the show notes and more information on the history of the NFL. And remember, dudes, where we're going, we don't need roads.